96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, August 4th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Over the weekend and also the whole holiday, I was privileged to come across an article, right? And I said, I want to give homage to this particular article because the article impressed me, especially and particularly since we were celebrating Emancipation Day. Right? Emancipation Day evokes a lot of emotion for different type of behemoths. And we must appreciate that the Bahamas is made up of different type of people. How Emancipation Day is reflected by African people or people from African descent, from European people, right? From Asian people, Greeks in general, right? Is different. They all conjure up different type of emotions. It's a hodgepodge of mixed grouping of people inside the Bahamas. Majority of us as black Bahamians, talking about black before I go to white, have European ancestry in us, whether it's 1%, 2% to 75%, right? Then I think it might be safe to say that all white Bahamians, European descent Bahamians, have black DNA in them. Whatever the variance is, 1, 2, 3, 10%, 20%, right? Because we're a small society. And with small society, you tend to mix up, right? And especially when it was scarce resources, if one particular type of Bohemian had access to more resources, you, as man or woman, you make yourself more available. A number of people intermarry, making themselves more available, and they intermarry, and back and forth, you have people with 1% or 2% DNA. There's such a thing as Bohemian white, as such a thing as Bohemian Chinese, there's such a thing as Bohemian Greek, right? And even in terms of ethnic groups, smaller ethnic groups, there are a number of black Bohemians who have Haitian DNA or Haitian ethnicity, and Jamaican ethnicity, and so on, Bajan, especially when the West Indians came here to work on the contract. They mix match up a lot, right? And being a small society, again, like I said, their DNA permeate throughout the whole Bahamas to say that we all mix up. We all mix up. I don't think there's anybody in the Bahamas who could say they are pure this. And let's go as far as Spanish Wells. I soon get to what I want to talk about, but there are a number of things I've learned over the weekend and I want to throw out, right? One, I had an exchange with some Sigilians. I think that's the right word. And someone who can text me and correct me of the right verbiage for that. People from Spanish Wells. They're not called Spanish Wellians. Spanish Well is the capital of the island. And the name of the island where the Spanish Well people live escapes me. And of course, someone will text me soon enough to say, oh, that's the island here. And I almost sure was like, anyway, y'all just text me so I can educate the wider audience who may not know, because majority of the Bahamas, Bahamians will say Spanish Well is Spanish Well, that's the island, not knowing that the island has a name. Right? And that the capital of that island is Spanish Wells. Right? So hopefully, I'm looking to see if anyone texts me. No one texts me yet. Hopefully someone texts me with the correct name for that. And where whatever Spanish Wells on top is on is called Russell Island. And Russell Island has no capital. Right? So go on with that. I have learned, or I had an exchange with several Spanish Wellian people who said that the demographics, St. George's Key, thank you very much, Texas, text, it says The island is called St. George's Key. And the capital of St. George's Key is Spanish Wells. Like the island is New Providence and the capital of New Providence is Nassau. And Texter, what do you call the people of St. George's Key? Sigilians? Sigilians? Well, let me know. Let me know what they're called. See? It says the settlement is called Spanish Wells. Thank you very much, sir. So what do you call the people them of Sir George's? Just trying to throw that in. I'm waiting for the text to text me back and forth. So I'm speaking to a lady in particular. She is from Spanish Well or St. George's Key. And she said the demographics of St. George's Key has changed. I said, that majority of the population of Spanish Wells is white. At least 80 to 90%. I thought I was safe with that number. I say 80 to 90% of Spanish Wells is white. She quickly corrected me. And I didn't get offended. I was thinking that she's trying to troll me because she corrected. Sigilian, that's his name, Sigilian. I thank you very much, Texter. It's called Sigilian, so the Sigilian people. So make sure people understand. The island is called St. George's Key. The settlement, or the major settlement, I think they only have one settlement on St. George's Key, is called Spanish Wells. The local population, I guess the wider population of the Bahamas, now call the settlement the entire island. Few Bahamians know that there's an island and a settlement on that, right? So it's Russell Island and St. George's Key. And the people of St. George's Key, or the people of Spanish Wells, are called Sigilian. Sigilian. So hopefully that educates some people, right? They also have their own charter. And that's a whole show by itself. When I say by the whole charter, they have a constitution for themselves. Started in the 1600s, all right, and where they are governed by this constitution. They have rules and regulations, laws, and that permeates to how they have their own electricity and so on, and how they govern. And also, and I wasn't my plan was not to be talking about St. George's Island or St. George's Key. I just this happenstance. What I was going to say, they're the only island that has its own coat of arms. And I'm going to use that loosely to explain that, right? Because they have, with their charter, their coat of arms has a fishing vessel on it. It's the most recent coat of arms they have. Now, you might see a number of family islands have a picture, a pictorial picture where they say that's the coat of arms or the crest of the island. But that's not an official coat of arms because it hasn't been adopted by the government. The owners or the person who drew all of these various coat of arms was never paid for it. They suggested it to the government, put it forward for the government for consideration in the 1960s thereabouts. And the government never responded. It's still there. They still own it. But since then, the Bahamian people have, especially for the various family islands, have accepted that this is their crest, right? Even though it has not been officially accepted by the government that, yes, that island has their own crest, right? Only one island has their official crest that belongs to the island. Everyone else just adopted the crest because the government never officially said, yes, we recognize that this island and this crest belongs together. I just want to say that. But go back to the lady who was talking back and forth and her friend. She said the demographic of Spanish Wells has changed. It's not 70 to 80% white. She said that it's about maybe 20% white. And everything else is black. I was alarmed. I challenged them and said, no, that's not true. But I haven't been to Spanish Wells in years. I'm just passing through. And when I see pictures, I still see white Bahamians, right? I accepted that that's a white island, like Abaco, Hopetown, and those Guanaki. I accepted that we have unique islands, right? But have their own nuances, and that's part of Bahamian culture. have a part of our tourist product and say, hey, yes, we have White Islands, you know, the family from descended, whatever it is. But, oh, these two ladies was passionate and said that their demographics have changed. The majority of people in Spanish Wells are black. In fact, they have a large population of Haitians. And I told that lady, bull. But she insists. She insists. So if there's any Spanish Wells people who will say that's contrary, or any Spanish Wells people who will endorse that and say, yes, it is true, you can always text me and I'll read in the records, because I did not know that. So that's one of the things that I learned over the weekend, right, that I said I wanted to put place. Then I also saw a article. I'm going to read that one last. I'm going to read from Bohemianology, and I would encourage most Bohemians, all Bohemians, to go and visit this particular website, Bohemianology, OLOGY.com. It's a prominent Bohemian website that gives the history of the Bahamas, and they give the history of Bahamas via news articles and research, and they write a narrative based on it. It has conversations and topics that typically you would not find. Conversation and topics that is not in our Bohemian history books, but it definitely should be a part of our history. Again, that's Bohemianology.com. They do extensive research, impressive research. It's definitely a treasure of the Bahamas, and I think our government should adopt that website or give them some kind of stipend to ensure that it continues after the owner, right? Because, you know, when these private websites and the owners die, the information tends to die with them. You can't find it no more. But this particular website is good. And for celebrating Emancipation Day, and I had an issue with this too, because some of the things that was posted, I said, rubbish, right? But it's called Bohemian Proverbs, right? And it was written and recorded by someone named H.H. Finley. H.H. Finley from Eleuthera, the Bahamas. And this was done in 1925. Anyone out there born 1925? How old would you be now? Dead, right? So this would be by our parents, our grandparents. And this Finley, and I'm not sure if he is Bohemian per se, because you know we had a lot of expats, especially in 1925, before majority rule. More like he was an expat, and expat write things, and the native population never write as much. And he wrote down a number of Bohemian proverbs, and some of these I've never heard, and I challenged and said, man, these sound West Indian, not necessarily Bohemian. But I wanted to share it also on air so we can start recording some of these sayings that we say now, right? And then to go and research to see if our family members still use these things. Because like I said, I count two out of 10 that I'll say is Bohemian. But this Finley person from Eleuthera, Bahamas, who wrote this in 1925, said, yes, he, as he was studying the Bahamas and recording the proverbs of the Bahamas, these were the most prominent ones. And I'll read them to you. When man dead, grass grow to him door. When man dead, grass grow to him door. That sound patois-ish to me. Very patois-ish. I think I understand what it means, right? If he's alive, he's going to cut his grass. And since I'm dead, things grow up, right? I appreciate what it means. I just don't think that's Bohemian. The claims, like I said, 1925, apparently we used to say that a lot, right? You play with puppy, him lick your mouth. Again, it sounds like a twang. Now, I'm familiar with that. You play with puppy lick him out, right? I've grown up with that particular saying. How they put it, I wouldn't necessarily say that's Bohemian. It sounds very West Indian. And I find that a number of our proverbs, apparently we in the Bahamas have adopted. We were a part of the West Indies. We were part of the British Commonwealth, part of the Commonwealth in general. And movement of people, we shared a lot of proverbs and phrases and songs, because a number of our calypso songs are West Indian songs that we grew up on, right? Especially Ronnie Butler and the Ramblers. These were a number of Caribbean songs that he even songs. Let's continue with it. And I'm still moving to go to the article that I plan to read. And this is kind of longish article, but it's worth to read. So bear with me when I do start reading that. Okay. So this another one says, Bohemian Proverbs 1925 says, mad dog bite the hand that feeds them. Mad dogs bite the hand that feeds them. Sound kind of familiar to me, but that don't sound Bohemian. We don't say mad dog, right? Anyway, a boaster and a liar are first cousins. Again, a boaster and a liar are first cousins. Don't trust people who talk much. Don't trust people who talk much. Fool talk much. Wise men talk less. Fool talk much. Wise men talk less. Clean your door out first, then tell your neighbor about their own. I hear clean the baby out your eye. I heard that. Yeah, you know, clean the baby out your eye. Right? I think we may be the only Caribbean nation that say the word baby. I'm not sure about that because it could be other Caribbean nations, but I haven't heard that one either. Say, some man bun them hand when they only mean to warm them. Again, some man bun them hand when they only mean to warm them. I've never heard that. In time of prosperity, friends will be plenty. In a time of adversity, not one in 20. And again, this is by H.H. Finley, who claims these are Bohemian Proverbs of 1925 and that we used to use these a lot, and that time has transitioned and passed, and now we have forgotten a number of these things. I said, let me read this, especially as we celebrate Emancipation Day, right? Don't hang your basket higher than you can reach them. I've heard that. You hang your basket higher than you can reach. Don't hang your basket higher than you can reach them. The next one says, don't hollow out fried fish till you catch them. Don't hollow out fried fish until you catch them. No clue what that means. And the last one here is, long or long, short or short, we die. Long or long, short or short, we die. And again, you can find that at bohemianology.com. These are Bohemian Proverbs. They claim that we used to say in the 1925s. It reminds me of the first time I saw the word or read the word day clean. And day clean is something that the Gullah Geechee people use regularly. And I've never heard it used in the Bahamas until I come across some Elutra people. And when I say people, plenty Elutra people. And said, I'll come and see you when day clean. I say, hey, that's a Gullah Geechee word. And said, what do you mean Gullah Geechee word? And apparently they use that phrase. So I'm seeing the connection between the Gullah Geechee people and the Eleutheran people. And sometimes you just have to be exposed. So that was one of the tidbits that I found during the over the holiday and weekend. So now I'm going to unplug my phone and start reading the article that it came across. And the reason why this particular article moved me, I am going to now lobby for this lady. Let's see if I can see her name. Is it her name? Because her name is important. And of course, Sarah Carr. Sarah Carr is Bohemian. Okay, I get a text saying, day clean is common in Cat Island also. See, there you go. Sarah Carr is important to Bohemians. Important to our history. And I'm going to read this into the annals because I want people to join me in lobbying to either have a recognize, the same way how they recognize Pompey, the same way how they recognize poor Black Kate or Black, Kate Moss, right? We need to recognize this Sarah Carr for her significance. And I call upon nurses in the Bahamas to recognize her. I call upon union officials to recognize her. I call upon the health to recognize this Sarah Carr. I call upon the government to recognize the Sarah Carr. And you can't recognize these people until you know about their story. And we need to do a what do you call it? When you go and find yourself, put out feelers into all of the islands of the Bahamas and say, tell us about your heroes. Tell us about your people from yesterday's. Who you is? Bella, who you for? Right? But Sarah Carr is someone significant in our Bahamian history that we've forgotten. We have forgotten, and I came across her name, written by Henry Taylor, actually one of Henry Taylor's, the governor general, his grandson, from the notes of Henry Taylor. And Henry Taylor, as a mulatto man, a black man, wrote copious notes on Bahamian history, because he toured the Bahamas as a teacher and chronicled a number of information about, and interviewed a number of black people in particular. He'd gone in detail about people who went to slavery, bush medicine. He has the largest collection of bush medicine, I think. And who knew that about Henry Taylor? And his grandson, Juan Taylor, has documented like published seven or eight books from the memoir of Henry Taylor, because he's writing a lot of notes. And he came across this particular story that I'm going to read. And I said, it's good that people know it. So we can start lobbying too. Because I remember when people were lobbying that we recognize a poor black Kate. And now Kate is a national hero of the Bahamas. And I think Sarah Carr deserved to have a statue right in front of Princess Margaret Hospital. She deserves one. Or in front of the nurses' school. She deserved one. And I said, maybe the nurses just don't know about her. Right? Maybe the Bahamians just don't know her. And like I said, I'm going to read it my best I can. And I like say, bear with me. Say, Dayclean is in Andrus, is an Andrus thing also. See? Who knew that Dayclean is a Bahamian term? Because islands are populating and calling in now and texting in saying, man, we use the word Dayclean all the time. Says, the Gullah people and the Bahamian have similar lineage. Some Bahamians stay there after building the Floridas. There are also some slave ties as well. And yes, Texer, I'm quite familiar with that. During the contract, my stepfather worked at... My grandfather jumped state when he worked on the contract. He never came back. And then my stepfather left the Bahamas when he was 13. He lied and told the people that he's 18 years old. He just went missing. He went and worked the contract when he was 13, saying he was 18. And he remember them deporting some Bahamians back for whatever minor crimes back. And that the Bahamians who they were trying to detain and send back said, no, we not Bahamians, we Gullah. And we come from South Florida, whatever it is. And they couldn't tell them apart because we had a similar accent. Right? And there was a saying, the overseer there used to give a barrel to the Bahamian. Anytime they planned to deport a Bahamian who did work the contract, they just give him an empty barrel and they watched him. And if the Bahamian, or if the person who they think is a Bahamian, who they're trying to deport, if they wanted to assure or reassure themselves whether the person was Bahamian, they say automatically if you give them a drum, give them a barrel, the Bahamian would start beating it like a drum, and they deport them automatically. They said, no, you're not Gullah, you're Bahamian, because Bahamian can't help themselves but beat a drum no matter what. So that was one of the things or tests they used to do. And yes, there are a number of Bahamians who jump state and go on to Georgia and the Carolinas because of the accent. But the accent existed before then. And if you go to the islands of Georgia and the Carol Islands, that outside islands there, and the Keys there, on the eastern side of Florida there, they have a number of islands that have a large white American population. And they sound like they come from Abaco. They sound like they come from Spanish. Well, the white population, they sound Bahamian, not just the black population. That same white accent that we have, the people of the Carolinas and the Carolina Islands, them have that too. So I found that interesting. I still can't get to this article. Let's go to speak to this caller here who's calling in, and then I'll start reading this article shortly. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Noor. How you doing?
Doing well. I'm going to get this article to read it. Radio.
Yeah, but on based on what you were saying, I son of Miss Ida, the Puch Mins on the corner of Camp Road and Shirley Tree. He left to go on the contract. He ended up in Torrance, Florida, right outside Orlando. And the only time he ever came back was if anybody died, anybody married. And he ended up dying in Tavares, Florida. Cabarrus, Florida is a little out island, like you going into Parksville in a little town. No road, it's just curry dirt. And in his backyard, he had lines and lines of oranges, peaches, apples, and everything. You go out in the back there in the morning for breakfast, and you could pick a peach right off his tree. Have a good day.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, and we need more stories and more chroniclers for that. I'm not sure if there's any book about Bahamians living in Florida during the contract era, like the settlement that where they were. My stepfather tells a story about him going to St. John's University, and he talks about Jim Crow rules and say, well, we can't go this way. Or across the street have Jim Crow, and where he's staying is not Jim Crow rules right there. He talks about coming across a large population of white Americans in Minnesota there, and eating fruits and picking fruits, and they say these underground cellars. He said there was a lot of underground cellars up north. He gives great detail about that. But I don't see any book chronicling that part of our history. So we, in this new era, would be familiar. Let's go to this caller here before I start reading this article. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live.
Guardian Radio, Brandon Urie.
How you doing again?
Listen to me. Mm-hmm. First, let me congratulate you, Fox Silly, and so on, your good weekend that you had.
It was a fabulous
one. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice talking and everything. But speaking about languages, let me say to you, and a lot of people heard it. There's a couple of people call me. This sparky gentleman, as he always talk about him, is age 75. They played some things for me over the weekend, some clips from things with Sparky was saying out on Facebook and different media. There are two set of people that I delight. Some were wise and some were foolish. And if I had to categorize Sparky, I would have put him in the foolish section.
Hey, no. I got to stop you now because Sparky's one of my callers. And leave him alone, please. You want to say let's give him space to call. And there are some things I agree with him and some things I disagree with him, but there's no need to hit on Sparky today. He ain't saying nothing out of the way today. So leave him alone, please. Please. Okay, let's start reading this article. The article starred, here's what happened when they freed the slaves in the Bahamas, from the writings of Sir Henry Milton Taylor. And it says, Happy Independence Day, right? Asked about slavery, she said. Yes, sir. When Queen Vicky set we free, Maturin did cut Bubby long time. I'm been Omen long time in slavery. What was your master's name, she said. She was asked. Child. And I ain't did never know that. We all used to call him Master Joe, but we didn't know that. She answered, "Tell me now." She was asked, "What happened on the day when you heard that you were free?" Annabella, she answered with a grin, "All of we dinner dance the whole night, then we rest, and then we dance again." Then dance keep up the whole week, and ain't know when the dance stop. How did you eat all the time? Where did you get your food from? She was asked. Them master them say victual there for we. They ain't wasn't gonna lie. We get hungry, you know. They know we been gotta go back to work for them. Did you go back? Bulla, we did gotta go back to work for master them. We ain't had nothing to eat, so master say we must come back, and that day was going to feed us, we, answered Sarah with a very pleased expression on her face. And this is an excerpt from Henry Milton Taylor. He was interviewing people who went through slavery, and this particular woman is named Sarah Carr, right? I'm not going to read this whole article. Right, but this is worth listening to because it captures a snippets of what happened in the Bahamas post emancipation, and since we celebrate emancipation, like I said, I can't read this dialect well. right? Boy, we used to talk some strange talk back then. But let me get this caller, then I'll start the whole article on Sarah Carr. I'm going to read parts of it so you can appreciate what I appreciate and why I say we need to lobby. And again, this is a woman who born into slavery in the Bahamas, who got had emancipation in the Bahamas, and she's happened to be interviewed by Governor Henry Milton Taylor. And this was what he recorded. But go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, that's very good. First off, I never criticize other callers, okay? But I'm glad you cut off that Julian Ferguson or whatever the money. And I respect him as an older gentleman. But come on. Make a comment, right? This ain't what this show is all about, or any show. Make a comment and move on, okay? And you need to know that. How you criticize Sparky? Come on, man. Anyway, and he's an older gentleman, too. Anyway, I wanted to say, with the history of the Bahamas, right, with the Gullah Geechee people, I understand in some studies that I've done that, you know, they had, like, the slave ships, and particularly from Bermuda, and during the Triangular Trade or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. All the stubborn, hard-headed, whatever. They used to just drop them off in the Bahamas.
You think so?
And that's how you see that they are from free Africans. That's the history of the free Africans. You hear?
Mm-hmm.
Then they, what we call play crazy, okay? Say, look here. Them white people couldn't deal with them.
Mm.
Okay? Say, look here. These islands, put them right there. And they didn't think they were going to survive.
Mm.
Or they'll drop them here. They'll drop them there. And then they move on into slavery. And another thing with Africa, and that slave trade thing, the black man who used to go and get in West Africa, jungle, I call it the jungle, he knew there were tribes, okay? Some tribes were against each other. He knew this tribe, a person from this tribe, and the person from that tribe, they enemies. And he'll tell the white man, listen, these two, put them together. Put them together. Don't never leave them together because they speak each other language. They don't want that. And they would put enemies. And the black man did that. Okay? Say, no. This one, don't put him with that one. Put him with this one. And on them slave boat, what they bring here, I'm talking during the Triangular Trade, that's why you see we have, and that's black rod syndrome, that's what I call it. Okay? We have it here today, and we inherit that. The stubbornness with the children, the hard-headedness, that's what we have. Anyway, you have a good day.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much. Let me read this text. Says, I knew a person who went on the contract and also got involved in civil rights movement. He had to return because he was threatened by the KKK and to return as freight. That happened to a lot of us, actually. I mean, not say a lot of us, a lot of Bahamians. I have had an ancestor. He married, he's a John Hanna, married Mercy, no, the son is John Hanna. Okay, both of them John Hanna. Married a mercenary, and he ended up in Panama. They have a whole Hanna Hasty Tang clan in Panama now. And he became a civil rights leader, prominent civil rights leader. He's recognized by Progress for African American. What are, the name just gone? NMCP. Anyway, civil rights movement type people. So yes, we do have a number of Bahamians who were very, very active in American politics. So it's good day, Mr. Nuri. Three areas in Central Florida were mostly men settled, and like my grandfather, became naturalized U.S. citizens. Fort Paris, Guilford, and to some extent, Wabasso. These areas kind of close to me in Florida, orange-growing areas. There you go. Let's see more text. Let's go to this caller as I prepare to read this, finish read part of this article. Go ahead, caller. Guide and read AM, you're live.
A pleasant good evening again.
Well, you know I try and get my... I appreciate it, and I know what you're calling for. There's no need. Let me go through this article and so we can appreciate and have this inside the record, right? Let's go to this last caller. Guide and read AM, you're live.
Hey, man, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Man, that was a really strange exchange, you know.
Yeah, what's peculiar? NAACP. Someone text me. I love when my texts call me. That's who's recognized. Go ahead.
No, I'm thinking, right? If you're stubborn, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm troublesome, right? You will be let off down south, further south,
mm-hmm.
before you reach the U.S. mainland. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're smart enough, you stay quiet until it's almost time to get off the ship,
mm-hmm.
and then you make your move. Now, the historical, you know, the historical stuff shows us that far more mutinies happen in our waters, and they happen just before the fellows reach the mainland. Okay, so you know, I don't think it was stubbornness. You know, it was just you know, we just had some people who were smarter. They stayed still until it was time to move. Anyway.
I appreciate that.
Good show, buddy.
Yeah, man. I have a texter who asked me who my ancestor was. I was talking about is Mercy Nuri. She married John Henry Hanna, and John Henry Hanna had John Charles Hanna, and he became the civil rights movement and the National Association for Advancement of Colored People. He being recognized big time. Recognition there and his activities. Anyway, when we come back, I'll try my best to go through this article because I want to read it in the records now because I want people to know who this lady is. So I'm going to speed things up. This has been Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. We'll be right back.
What happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Attention, island game players. Percy's pension plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. Applications close September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com.
As the summer days wind down, a new school year begins. Grab your checklist and head on over to Kelly's House and Home for their 20% off back to school sale, except on net items, now through September 2nd. They have everything you need, like Toto, JanSport, and character backpacks, lunch boxes, composition books, pens, pencils, calculators, and more. Spend $50 or more on school supplies and you could win one of two gift baskets, bicycles, a laptop computer, or a Crayola-filled stocking. Catch Kelly's House and Home's back-to-school sale now through Tuesday, September 2nd.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets, you name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
We're gonna give you a check
every week for a year.
Percy's Pension Plan, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy's Pension Plan, Island Game, we got you. Percy's Pension Plan, from the friends you can trust. If winning is a must, go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trust.
counting, ride this easy train at Percy's Island Gang.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Percy's Island Games. I love that jingle. Say, attention, Island Game players. Percy's Pension Plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25, and you can officially be in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 per week for a full year, right? The applications close on September 8th. You need to apply now. And where you apply to theislandgame.com. So let me hurry up, go to this article now before my phone line starts ringing again and I don't get this into the records. But this is how the full story goes. A young woman of African birth who was brought as a slave to the Bahamas became in the hearts of the people of South End of Long Island, an authority on bush medicines. If on Sarah can't cure you, you needn't go to no doctor because they can't cure you yourself. Sarah Carr was a midwife as well. In fact, during the latter part of the 19th century and the early part of the 20th century, there were no other persons who were called to attend in cases of childbirth in that part of Long Island. She was unlettered, uneducated, held no paper degrees, but success followed her everywhere and remained at her side continually. I believe that Sarah was an adopted name. I do not believe that her African name was known to anyone around her. She had been married, but her husband, William Carr, died before I was old enough to know him. I first knew Sarah when I was about 6 years old. She was a frequent visitor at our house, and she was always welcome. Considering her age, she must have been in her 30s, When the Act of Abolition was passed in England in 1834. She lived on a hill overlooking the settlement of Victoria Village on the outskirts of Clarence Town. Her home was a shack with one bedroom and a front room, although it was always in the days I knew her in a state of disrepair. She kept it spotless, clean, and tidy. They were the days or years when she was over and about in good weather. When nature called, she would go through the thick bushes that surrounded her house to answer the call. Sarah was a Baptist by religion. On Sunday mornings, it was customary to see her walking her way to the little Baptist church on the other side of Clarence Town, over 1 mile from her home, to attend service there. Her uncanny and very considerable knowledge of bush medicines earned her a wide reputation among all people with whom she came in contact. It is possible that that knowledge came with her from Africa, and I had always wondered whether the bushes and the trees of the Bahamas were similar to those of her native land. God make bush for every sick. You only got to know what to get. Whenever a person got sick in the area around Sarah, would have diagnosed their trouble to herself and went into the forest, returning with an armful of leaves, shrubs, and vines and roots. Remuneration for her work was very little. The people around her were poor, had very little of worldly goods, and Sarah was greatly satisfied to do whatever she could to assist her friends and neighbors. As a midwife, she remained with the child and the mother for 9 days, and for this service, Sarah's fee was 6 shillings, 12 shillings Long Island money, or about a little. Something happened just now. 1 minute for me. Looking for it right now. Start from here. Remuneration for her work was very little. The people around her were little of worldly goods, and Sarah would do what she could to assist her friends and neighbors. As a midwife, she remained with the child and its mother for 9 days, and for this service, Sarah's fee was 6 shillings, 12 shillings Long Island money, or about a little less than $1 by today's exchange. In those days, it was $1.50. Sarah Carr, or Sarah, as she was called by everybody, was considered the medical marvel of the community. Medical doctors and nurses were rare on Long Island as hens' teeth. Therefore, whenever the villagers found it necessary to solicit medical assistance, they had to resort to any person who they believed could help them. For years before and after the turn of the 20th century, Sarah supplied this necessity to the community with the assistance of her own medicines, which she obtained from shrubbery and bushes around the seam to get along successfully, and built up for herself a very popular, enviable reputation. There were times when a sick villager seemed to be too ill for Sarah to attend to or prescribe for. Whenever this happened, she recommended that the patient be put on one of the local sailing vessels that was plying between Long Island and Nassau to consult a medical doctor. Nassau was the only place where trained medical assistants could be found. The distance to Nassau was 180 miles. The patient was subject on the voyage to conditions that depended on the weather and the journey that took between 2 to 6 days. After arriving in Nassau and subject to his financial conditions, he would go either to a private doctor and pay the normal fee, or to the Bahamas General Hospital, where he would get free service and attention after obtaining a government hospital permit. Sarah's principal occupation was what she excelled in. She was the village midwife. For many years, she performed this work unswervingly and without competition, and often without compensation. Every child born during this period of her practice was delivered by Sarah. No person living knew her age. It was not recorded anywhere. When she was asked about her, answer was always, "That been so long, and I done forget, and I neighbor did know old as I is. We ain't did never keep account." At her passing about the year 1912, it was estimated that she was 112 years old. Sarah was illiterate. She never had the opportunity to attend school, but her intuition and common sense made up for the lack of book learning. Her knowledge of bush medicine was second to none anywhere. "Sarah, you believe in bush medicine, don't you?" she was asked one day while preparing a concoction. She was boiling bush leaves from several plants together. "Everything you see in this world, gonna make to use," answered Sarah. "Every bush good for people to use. You only got to find out what they good for." Asked about slavery, she said, "Yes, sir. When Queen Vicky set me free, maturing did cut Bubby long time." It gone blank again. Let me get this call while I try to find the article again as I read from my phone. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live?
Yeah, Mr. Newey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, we all were foolish at one point in time in life, and some politicians are foolish. Then you sit on your dying bed and you look back at life. But I just wanted to say this. The story you're reading about the lady right now and the Kate Moss story that Chris highlighted, I would urge Chris to try and get a movie made out of those. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't think so, and somebody should try and do a movie with Sahari Oaks. But I wanted to touch on a common narrative, a common phrase, which probably is a status quo phrase, speak when you're spoken to and answer when you're called.
Mm.
You know that came straight from Amsterdam, right?
Yeah? Okay. That makes sense. It would come from Amsterdam. Let's finish read this article. I'm trying to get it up. You know, I'm reading from my phone, and every time you click here, one thing is okay. Asked her about slavery, she said, "Yes, sir, Queen Vicky." Gone again. It's getting annoying now. Touch it one more time. Let's see if I can get through this. Looking right now, forgive me, I'm trying to get back to where I was. Okay. "What was your master's name?" she was asked. "Child, I ain't never know that. We all used to call him Mars Joe, but we ain't did no more than that. She answered, tell me now, she was asked, what happened on the day when you heard you were free? And Bulla, she answered with a grin, all our we did a dance the whole night. Then we rest and we dance again. Then dance and keep up a whole week. And again, and ain't know when the dance stop. How did you eat all that time? Where did you get your food from? She asked. Then master them send Vittle for us to eat. They ain't wasn't go lay us hungry. They know we being gotta go back for them to work. Anyway, I run out of time. You can see this particular article on my page. I'm going to share it one more time. That's C.A. Nuri on Facebook, just in case you want to read it. It's a long article. It's worth to read. It's really worth to read. I wish I had started earlier. But I'm going to lobby for Sarah Carr to get some kind of recognition. She deserves to be recognized by nurses, especially the midwife nurses. She's done a lot for the Bahamas, particularly through her sacrifice and not being paid. It is definitely an interesting story. I'm getting texts now, wishing I could read the rest of it. But check my Facebook page. It's there. Anyway, I got to go now. Guardian Radio AM. It's good to see what happened exactly after Emancipation Day. And Sarah Carr went in detail about what happened with all she used to do. And then you hear it in her own words. And that's what I had to challenge, trying to read it in that Bahamian vernacular of yesteryears. Yes, sir. That's how we used to talk. Amen. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.